Hello, this is Chris Ardern from Watchmen Weekly. We can be found at www.watchmenweekly.com. And today I've got a special guest. I'm very excited to introduce Charlotte Iserbit, a voice in the wilderness that I've admired and respected for the past 4 years, the years that I've been awake. And I discovered Charlotte and her work early on. Her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down, is just an encyclopedia of information. Just putting names and documentation to what's happened to our society, specifically the education system, over the last 30 years, 40 years. And recently heard Charlotte interviewed on some of the other alternative media radio shows, and I've just been appalled at how rude the host, whose names will go unmentioned, have been to Charlotte. Every time she'd talk about anything that they didn't want to hear about, they would just cut her short, and I just thought, Charlotte needs to have a place to say what she has to say. So I tracked her down, and I'm just thrilled to have her with us today. With that, I'm going to turn the show over to Charlotte and welcome you to Watchmen Weekly.
Okay, that's fine, Chris, and thank you very much for the invite. And, you know, I've had a good, awful lot of time working in this area since 1975, which is, what, 35 years, And I suppose the best way to start is to introduce myself, Charlotte Thompson Iserbit. And my last name is an unusual name due to my husband having been Belgian, from the Flemish part of Belgium. He passed away 3 years ago. And he was a great support in all of my work, having been trained and educated in Europe. Actually, he was at Jesuit schools, and he was very knowledgeable about what was going to happen in the world. He educated me. Basically, he educated me about the Illuminati and the banking system. And all. He had a teacher, I think, in high school. We had pretty good education over there in Belgium. And every time the teacher would close the history class, he would say, remember the Russian bear. And so that was very interesting because he told me that early on in our marriage. And then after I was involved in education at the school board level and looking at all these destructive programs, you know, to absolutely destroy the children's values, I began to question why would the government spend so much money on all these programs unless Christianity was important. That's how I sort of backed into being Christian. And then about that time I met with Norman Dodd, who was the research director for the congressional committee that investigated the tax-exempt foundations. And he's a wonderful man and, you know, a brilliant, brilliant person. And, you know, just they were very fortunate to have such a person as research director. He was honest. He knew what he was looking at, et cetera. And to make a long story short, those hearings, the 3,000 pages of the congressional hearings for the tax-exempt foundations in 1953 are posted at my son's website, AmericanDeception.com. I did buy the one existing copy in the country, and the foundations had tried to buy that information from the guy I bought it from about 20 years ago, and they offered my friend, who I bought it from, any amount of money to get it. Huh? So anyway, what I just want your listeners to know, it is there. If they want to see what happened, why our country went down, they should go to American Deception. It's going down. It's not down yet. But what happened, basically, the role of the leftist tax-exempt foundations is just enormous, and to think that that's really our money that was used to destroy our own nation, our values, our education system, our economic system especially, et cetera, our control of the media and all. So anyway, I had the opportunity, the privilege of knowing Norman Dodd, and finding out, of course, about the most important meeting that he had, which was off the record, and that's why it's not in the congressional hearings, not in the transcript, in New York City in 1952 or 3 with the president of the Ford Foundation, Rowan Gaither. And Gaither, as some of your listeners may know, because this story has sort of gotten out, but I'm always sort of surprised that, you know, there are a lot of people who don't know. And Gaither, who's the president of Ford Foundation, just said to him, Mr. Dodd, you know, we do not, here at the foundation level, determine the agenda, how we're going to spend our money. We get our instructions from the White House on how to spend it to change America.
Ah.
So it could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union.
Yes.
So that flips back to what I was talking about with my husband, you know, the Russian bear?
Yes.
And people, well, I mean, it was beautifully done. I mean, if any of us were involved in trying to implement an international socialist, whatever you want to call it, corporate fascism type of government, we're certainly not going to allow the Russian bear to continue to exist. Because then we would all be on guard, wouldn't we?
Yes.
So it was very clever how, and we have all the records on that now, because a lot of Soviet defectors, people have come out who've explained, yes, you know, this whole coming down of the wall and everything in 1990 was fabricated. It was all planned carefully, because you had to make people think everything was over, and then we've got the new enemy. You always have to have an enemy in order to get what you want.
Yes, we do.
You have an enemy, and everybody gets upset, so then you can do anything you want, like the Patriot Act or whatever else, which is now, that's the new enemy, you know, Islam, and after 9/11. And so it just keeps moving on like that. But they had to get rid of the old enemy, right?
Right.
Which really didn't get rid of, not at all, because if anything, it appears to me that whatever is a form of government, we want to call it, people hate to use the word communism, because that really is a bad, you know, don't do that, huh?
Right.
Mr. Reagan, who signed the agreements with Gorbachev in 1985, merging the two education systems. You
Can
just
you
don't talk about Mr. Reagan, do you? Or his role ever since he was governor in bringing about the demise of this country's constitutional system. People don't know this stuff. That's probably the biggest bomb I dropped on your little, on this little interview, right? Easier to believe that the communists are so communist, huh? Than
right.
to believe that Ronald Reagan was one of them, hmm?
Right. Isn't it? It's just absolutely mind-boggling. But, yeah, you're just explaining things that I've only just found out in the last 3-4 years of my life. And, you know, it's been a process of just... you know, you have to work through the grieving process, actually, as you find out everything you thought that you had your hope and values in has all been all but a fraud, really. But I think
it's sickening. It's saddening. I don't like talking about it. I don't like telling people about it, because I myself, it's sort of like, as you said, it's a grieving process. I've been grieving over this for, you know, ever since I really was in the U.S. Department of Education and found out.
Yeah.
That was a Marxist factory, and then when I you know, I blew the whistle on him and leaked a document, and then Ronald Reagan allowed, you know, he had all the information from me about what was going on there. He never responded to my letter. He allowed a really wonderful educator that I knew who had been the headmaster of the Christian school, National Girls School or something in Washington, D.C., National Cathedral School, I think, for girls, Edward Curran. He allowed him to be fired. He allowed that socialist Secretary of Education that he'd also appointed, T.H. Bell from Utah, to fire this wonderful director of the National Institute of Education, when the director recommended to the president that his office be abolished. Can you imagine recommending your own office be abolished? You're sort of a Ron Paul type, huh?
Right.
Well, that wasn't to be. So when Ronald Reagan, who was out of the country, and my friend had been fired by T.H. Bell for sending this letter to the White House recommending his own office be abolished, when Reagan got back, he fired him. Instead of firing T.H. Bell and putting Edward Curran, the very wonderful educator, in there as U.S. Department of Ed Secretary, huh? Which would have been fabulous. We would have gotten rid of the department, not just the Office of Research. But Reagan allowed it to stand.
Yeah, because he had a whole different agenda, obviously, and that's what it's so hard to listen to the people that are still putting their hope in this system to think it's just going to be this or that that's going to turn it around, and don't realize that this is all just progressing just like it was planned. That's the hard part to accept.
It's very, very difficult, but there's also another side to it that they're not that dumb. You know, the neoconservatives, or whatever we want to call them, they know what they're doing.
Oh,
I mean, I've been writing since 1985, right? And the little book I wrote in 1985, Back to Basics Reform, and all of this material is on my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. That's a PDF there. People should go read it if they want to understand.
It's a fantastic resource for people, and yeah, I'm glad that you gave it a plug because I was going to do the same thing, Charlotte. I've enjoyed it myself. There's more information than I can get a hold of there, but I'm working through it myself.
Well, it's that particular booklet. You know, I mean, I wrote the 770-page book. You know, I was so upset when the conservatives boycotted the little 39-pager, which all of your listeners can read. You know, they don't have to read anything else.
Good.
I'd like them to read the new book, which is shorter than the big, you know, the new version of The Deliberate Dumbing Down. It's an abbreviated, updated version. It's available at Amazon. You can buy it there.
Yeah.
Deliberate Dumbing Down, the abridged version. But this little book, written, again, 85, 95, how many years is that? Figure it out. 90, 25, what? How many years? Yes, 25 years ago. told exactly what I found in the U.S. Department of Ed.
Wow.
And it explained exactly what was going to happen this very minute in the year 2012. Exactly what they were up to, that it was absolutely essential for them to get this restructuring in with outcomes-based education, which uses the Skinnerian, Pavlovian method, which thinks man is an animal,
yes,
not a human being, to be trained, not educated. I wrote that little book, and I had all the documentation because I was in the office where this whole thing came from.
Yeah.
And I look at it myself. Back this many years, and I think, whoa.
Wow.
Can you imagine that the so-called conservative movement across the board boycotted that little book?
Isn't it just amazing?
But we managed, you know, parents and good teachers and ministers, et cetera, we managed to get about, you know, probably 50,000 copies out, but that's not enough in a country of 300, whatever, how many million do we have? That book explained everything. And it said right on the front, you didn't even have to read it. It said, Back to Basics Reform or Outcomes-Based Ed, Skinnerian. That's, I could, you know, train a pigeon to drop bombs and make a pigeon a high achiever by reading it on a proper schedule. That's what's going in now across the board, thanks to conservatives who put in the Reading Excellence Act. Thank you to the conservatives. I'm sorry, it's just a tragedy to have to say this, but it said it right on the cover of the book, right? And then it said, asterisk, necessary for United States participation in a one-world socialist government planned for the early years of the 21st century.
The early years of the 21st century, and here they are, right on track.
Yes, and they didn't even have to read my book. They could have just read the asterisk part.
Isn't that amazing?
I think it's because it was President Reagan. It happened under President Reagan. Everything happened under him.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened was the merger of the public and private sector.
Yeah.
I would say liaison with the White House on that project. And I went over and said, what are you doing? Isn't this corporate fascism?
Well, that's what it was.
Of course. And they had to have Reagan do that. And Meese and Weinberger were involved, too. They had to have it so they could put in the Soviet workforce training system.
Yeah.
Lifelong. Child. No opportunity whatsoever. The corporations have a certain number of jobs to fill.
Right.
The schools are going to train your children for the jobs that are required, huh? That is the Soviet system.
This is what
and that is what is going in right now, using Skinner, using computers, using charter schools. Charter schools, terribly important. They couldn't do it without.
I was going to ask
charter
you about
schools, the public school.
Because I'm just educating myself on the charter schools right now. I was hoping you could expound a little bit on what's going on there, because they're still co-opted by the government. They're hardly independent, are they?
Well, they're public schools.
People yeah, okay.
Private school. You know, I was watching something the other day, and it was really rather a relief to see an educator who was pushing charter schools as honest as he was. Because someone said, it was TV, you know, said, it's really great to have this option of private education like this. And he said, it's not private. Mm. He said, it's public.
Yeah, it's an illusion, more illusion.
Go into any more detail than that. He did not tell people, for instance, that they're paying their taxes to an entity that doesn't have an elected school board.
Right.
That's the worst part about charter schools, as far as I'm concerned. If we go down this path with the education sector of our country, which we pay huge taxes into, billions and billions of dollars, if we go down the track of not wanting that sector of the economy to be accountable to the taxpayers, we're in trouble.
Right.
You cannot get rid of an appointed member on a council. And that, by the way, a council is a Soviet form of government, too.
Sure it is.
Look up the word council. If you have an old dictionary, you probably have more luck, because I don't think they want anybody to know what a council is, really. A council is a Soviet.
That's what Soviet means. I just had this conversation with a friend the other day.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I would imagine the new dictionaries have taken that out, because what they're moving us to, you know, they've been doing it ever since the fifth, well, they've been doing it since the beginning of a century, really. They're moving us towards this planned economy.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's the Hegelian dialectic is what it is. It's the committee deciding,
And the Delphi technique and manipulating people into a certain position. But this started, I mean, for people who, we could just jump back a bit, and I'd help them understand. It's pretty simple to understand the timeline. It wasn't simple for me in the beginning, but, you know, after how many years, I saw clearly that the major culprit here, aside from our elected officials who allowed it to happen, is the Carnegie Corporation. And I say that because in the early 30s, for instance, in 1934, and they were involved even earlier on, but in 1934, a very important book which you can access on the Internet, by the way, folks, was published, and it was called, it was published by the American Historical Association, but Carnegie Corporation paid for it.
That doesn't sound good.
What's that?
The Carnegie Corporation, that can't be good.
Well, they paid for it, and it was called Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies. And it's a tiny little book, and I got a hold of it. I think it was, again, the only copy in the country. And my son put it up on his website, AmericanDeception.com. And all you have to type in is one word in the search engine, conclusions. That little book called for using the schools, again, just like the agreement, like what Norman Dodd found out, but it called for a socialist America.
Yeah.
And it explained exactly how to do it through the schools.
Through the schools. Oh.
So from that time on, Carnegie every 5 years or so, really. It was involved in a major grant or funding of the assessment that our children have to take, the Education Commission of the States in Denver that determines the policy in every one of the 50 states. Carnegie funded, right? The agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science that were signed at the same time that Ronald Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev to merge the two education systems. The ones with the Academy of Science were even more extensive or more dangerous, I might say, in a way, because they dealt with the development of computer software for teaching critical thinking to early elementary school children. Now, can you imagine, with the Soviet system, the communism, we are sitting down with communists and developing software in critical thinking?
Yeah.
Lenin, actually, I think, coined the word critical thinking. You know, his definition of it was, nothing ever remains stationary. There are no absolutes.
Right. Change. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Like Obama, right?
So what's been attacked is the ability for people to critically think. Critical examination, it seems like the thing that's been taken from the people.
That's right, and then they're imposing it. You see, people think, it's a really interesting, I talk about this in an article I wrote called The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork. That's also at my website or at newsreviews.com. The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork, one of those prongs is semantic deception.
Yeah.
And I always remember being on a local school board when we went up against a program that my superintendent was a Marxist out of Harvard.
No kidding.
He wanted to put in a course in decision making.
Hmm.
Well, you know, what good parent? I don't think there's a parent out there in the world, ever has been or will be, who does not think it would be a good idea for their children to be able to make good decisions. Hmm?
Right.
So they fall for it. I went up against it, what happened was, first of all, he went with values clarification, and I got the whole board of directors to vote that down, because at that time in history, 1970s, people were aware that Sidney Simon's values clarification was totally destructive. It was very anti-family, anti-God, anti-everything. So the board, which was very liberal, did vote with me. But then the next day, the superintendent, he called me, and he said, Charlotte, would you have any objection to a course in decision-making? And I said, of course I would. I said, you know very well, it's just the same thing. You've just got another label on it.
They put another name on it, yeah. This
and
is
he
the way
said, I just thought I'd ask you. Well, that never came up again, right? But that's what people have to remember, that the words they use, like they tell the parents, we're going to go back to basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, geography, whatever. They don't mean, that's not basics. Basics to them is that the children will be brainwashed to know that the Constitution is no longer, it's outmoded, that we've got to be global citizens, not American citizens, that sustainable development is totally essential, even though it's going to absolutely wreck our economic system and our way of life, right?
Yes.
Now, this is what they tell the parents. We're going, and the parents don't have time, especially now. They're either working or whatever. You know, they don't have time.
All part of the plan.
To go and say, what do you mean by this? I want to see this curriculum. And then what happens is they won't even be able to see the curriculum, because everything is going to be on the computer. I mean,
there's
states now that don't have any textbooks anymore. Arizona's gone textbook-less. They don't have them anymore. We're going that way here. And one of the top honchos in computer technology, Dustin Houston, he's the head of the World Institute for Computer-Assisted Teaching. Back in the late 70s or 80s, you know, he said, and listen to this, if this doesn't scare you to death, nothing will. This is a direct quote. Won't it be wonderful when the child in the remotest county can have the equivalent of the knowledge of 15 of the world's greatest psychologists on a computer, and nobody can get between that child and the computer.
Oh, this is where we are.
I mean, that is
unbelievable.
Frightening. And yeah. We try so hard to convince people that, I mean, I'm not alone. They're the great researchers, some are passed away even. Some of our great writers like Maureen Heaton and I could just name, well, I have a whole list of them in my book, you know, The Deliberate Dumbing Down under acknowledgments. You know, they're just a tremendous list of fantastic Americans who didn't give up, who gave up their money and their time. None of us are rich. It's all, the people fighting this battle don't have any money. And they were brilliant. They knew what was going on. One of them knew Governor Reagan very well, Maureen Heaton. And she's written about him in her great book, The Impossible Dream, which is at my son's website, AmericanDeception.com. Interestingly enough, that particular entry has had thousands of hits. People all over the world are hitting on The Impossible Dream that Maureen Heaton wrote. Maybe because of what she had to say about Reagan. She knew him personally. She worked with him. She exposed him. He was responsible for the Delphi technique you were talking about earlier.
Okay, now what is that? Is that the that's the Peter Drucker stuff, right?
Well, it's Peter Drucker. Of course, they use that all over the place now. But it was called The Politics of Change.
The Politics of Change. Okay.
Yes. And you do this through meetings and using the Delphi technique.
Right.
Consensus. And this was under Reagan. The government of California,
yes.
They were trying to get in regional government, which was big. That's Reagan, that's communism, you know, regional government. I mean, if people don't know that, I have a great quote from a communist writer for the Daily World. It's in my book in the 1970s. You know, he wrote an article about we were moving too slowly in the United States towards regional government.
Yes.
It worked well in the Soviet Union. And that's what we're putting in now here. And that's what Ronald Reagan put into California. That was the first state.
Now, was Ronald Reagan sharp enough to have instigated this, or was he just a pawn like most of the presidents that we see these days? I mean, was this of his own fruition? Was it his ideology that he was following, or was he just doing what he was told?
Well, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I personally believe it was his own ideology. I don't believe you can go for that many years.
Yeah.
Because I know that he had a reputation in Hollywood as Red Ronnie.
Yeah, Hollywood was all communist, for goodness sakes.
I mean,
but,
didn't they call him Red Ronnie?
Yeah. I didn't hear that one, but I sure believe it. But
yeah,
that's really something, the Delphi technique. Well, that's the facilitator and the meeting, right, with the diverse, and this is the whole ideology that's infiltrated the evangelical church, which is what I was
talking about. Peter Drucker. And,
yeah. The
purpose driven. What we noticed, and you'll see it in the, if you get my new book, go to Amazon and, you know, buy the new book.
I'll plug that for you, Charlotte.
What's that?
Well, I'll plug all that for you on the website, you bet.
Okay.
So.
In the update, we did deal with Drucker, and Sarah Leslie, people could type her name into Google. You'll find all of her wonderful writing on the evangelicals and what has happened here. And Drucker, she's an expert on Drucker. She's the publisher of my book, Sarah Leslie.
Okay.
And Drucker actually, what was I going to say? I was thinking about... Drucker, so bad. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, well, for instance, when my book, Back to Basics Reform or Outcomes-Based Education, Skinnerian International Curriculum came out, I just couldn't understand what was going on, why the Christian churches wouldn't get the book out. And, you know, it took me a long time, well, 20 years at least.
Now, are you talking like the early 90s? Right here, are you saying like the early 90s? Is that when
80s.
You're talking the late the
80s?
The 80s, all right.
Yes, 80s, 90s. They have fought me all along when I said...
I know, Charlie. I've been a fighter.
What's that?
I know that you've been a fighter, and that's, you know, why I have so much respect for you, because you just, you know, we're all in the same boat just trying to stand up for what we know what's right, and it's just such a battle, but, you know, we just have to keep going, but...
Well, our children are not animals, right? And
no, they,
the minute you give up education and you train, as C.S. Lewis said it,
yeah.
He said that's when civilization dies.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. But what Sarah found out is she said, you know, we finally know why all the Christian evangelical movement, they were opposed to our getting the message out about Skinner and outcomes-based education. They would not support us. We know because that's Drucker's program.
Yeah.
Outcome-based, results-based.
Outcome-based Christianity. It's like, let's get a committee together and decide
what
the gospel is. We'll decide what the gospel message is. That's what's happened. And somewhere along the line, the truth ended up in the toilet. And here we are today with...
That's right. And you see, and what they will use is a stimulus response and rewards. And they're doing it already across the country. Americans who will go along with the totalitarian system being implemented now... right now are being rewarded. And if you speak out against it, you're punished in some form or other, right? And so the system is going in. The Pavlovian system is going in right now, Skinner. Dog training.
Yeah.
And that means that they just, the soul, the human soul given to us, right, by God, is just being destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed. I mean, there's no thinking going on anymore. It's
no.
just conditioning. Conditioning. I have a dog. Most of your listeners have dogs. I've had dogs for years. I've trained dogs. But our children aren't dogs. I love dogs. In fact, I really, at this point, I really think I like dogs better than people because at least, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the people. I know what's going on with the dogs, huh? But anyway, I know dogs, and I know that I know how it works. It's very simple. Offering conditioning is just as simple as telling your dog to sit and giving him a dog biscuit, and then the next time you put your hand up to get the biscuit out of the box, he's going to sit before you even say sit. Because it's a neurological response. Nothing to do with the brain.
Isn't that something?
Where
does Bloom's taxonomy fit into all this, too?
Well, you see, he is a behavioral psychologist.
Uh-huh.
And all teachers have to go through Bloom's taxonomy. And it's just breaking down the different domains, you know. The affective domain is the most, that's the one that bothers me the most. I mean, Bloom says with his taxonomy, you know, breaking it down into different stages of what you want them to know or whatever, he says he could take a child from, you know, a belief in God to making him into an atheist in 1 hour.
In 1 hour, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Anyway, that's, but now let's, how about, it's really, we spend so little time, we so-called former conservatives, I don't know what I call myself, independent, we have to spend so much time dealing with the phony right, huh? With the neoconservatives, it's constant. I never even talk about the left anymore because I think the right is far more dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. And I do too. And I was, hoping to get you to get into that in the second half hour. Okay, I'm back. Yeah, I've got a little boy that just got home from school and he was having a little crisis and on the computer, couldn't get it to work and... Yeah, you're talking about dogs. We got a little, our next door neighbor's little dog who's been here for 12 years. She died today. They had to put her down. So.
Oh, no.
About that little Jack Russell, and she got herself in the...
Oh, I adore Jack Russells.
I know. She was a little, all of our little friends. And she got herself in the, I don't know if they, she got into antifreeze or something, but...
Oh, how awful.
Just before
you
I
mean,
came out.
You mean, did she die today?
Just today they had to put her down. Yeah, it was sad.
Oh yeah, I mean, don't tell me. I mean, I have a dachshund. I have a miniature dachshund, but I've always loved Jack Russell's.
Yeah.
That's a very sad story.
I know, isn't it something?
She got into antifreeze?
Well, something. She got into her kidneys were swollen, and they had to put her down. They couldn't, you know how that goes. It might have been. We're trying to figure out where she would have gotten into it. Hopefully it wasn't from around here.
Were you taking care of somebody else's dog for a while?
No, it was just the next door neighbor. You know, she and the dog was over here all the time. She was always getting into mischief over here, and she just loved her, you know. But
well, I feel sorry for your children.
Yeah, my little boy. I just had to tell him, and he was kind of torn up about it. But they do get a piece of your life, and especially now, like you're saying, it is almost easier to deal with them than it is the kids. Oh, Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, well, they really are such an important part of our lives. And for children, it's vital, I think, to have dogs. And I'm a real dog nut, a total dog nut. But anyway, talk about Newt Gingrich, I'll tell you that.
My God. Well, we're going to have to get into all that in the next half hour. But maybe, the reason I've got such a heart for the education is because I've got – 3 teenage daughters, and they're part of this, you know, and I'm just so, you know, in the whole seeker-friendly church movement, you know, I'm sitting out here in the wilderness now. I got kicked out of the church for daring to talk about this stuff a couple years ago. It was so hard, and now I've got these 3 precious teenage daughters that are, it's an electronic world, and I'm just trying.
That's the scariest part of it, you know. And are they all in public school or where?
Yeah, they're in public school, yeah, and I'm in a rural Ohio, and it's not as bad as, you know, I've got a friend on the West Coast in San Francisco, and the stuff that she tells me, the horror stories. Now, she's homeschooling, but, and we started out homeschooling and started off doing all the right thing, but some reason, we're along the line, we lost our way, and we put them into the public school, and I'll tell you what put the worst was the PTA, The minds
Very
of the
bad.
Women in the PTA were the most destructive force on my family. Oh, my goodness. And it's the whole group. They can't think for themselves. It's the hive mind. You know, this is what goes on in the evangelical church. You got to go along with the hive. And, you know, we're individuals. You know, God made us individuals.
No. Well, I'm afraid it's, you know, not just in the evangelical church. I think it's everywhere. I believe that, you know, I'm not sure of this, but about 5%, it's always been this way, 5% of the world's population ever since Adam and Eve have been individualists.
Yeah.
And it never really changes.
Really?
I would do some more research on this, but, and that's you and me, and you never get more, and you sort of don't get less, and we just keep plodding along, and everybody else just goes like sheep. No matter whether they're in the evangelical church or the Mormons or the Catholics or whatever, you know, you've just got these people that don't dare speak out. They feel much more comfortable in the group, you know, and so they're really victimized by the ideas of collectivism because
absolutely
collectivism, that's the whole thing. John Dewey, you know, get rid of the individual.
Right.
And then you've got the neocons. I mean, boy, are they. I can tell you a story on that one. About 15 years ago, time does fly, but I was, as all of us, you know, very concerned about the UN. I've always felt that was that's the head of the octopus, huh?
Yeah.
And so it's the cancer, you know, and if you want to cure cancer, you don't clip your toenails,
No.
You go after the cancer. So my feeling, we've got to get out of the UN. So I had this little project that I thought was a darn good idea, and I still do. It was called a postcard project, and everybody would, all Americans who are concerned about individual liberty and the Constitution and don't like the UN and all, would participate in this. And all they'd have to do is constantly have with them 500 to 1,000 little postcards. That you could send them to your congressman and senator, or you could put them up in the hardware store or in Christmas cards or bills or, you know, wherever under windshield wipers. All the basic nastiest information about the UN would be on one side. On the other side, legislation, which I understand Ron Paul has a bill in, to get out of the UN. And so we would send, we would just distribute these constantly, 365 days out of the year, around the country. And my feeling was it was a fabulous project because it didn't really require much money. They couldn't come after us, right? There would be a contact place for people to go, probably a website or something. And so anyway, what happened was I was in touch with Rosalind Haley, who was sort of the grand dame, lovely person, good friend of Norman Dodd's. And she was very high up, the grand dame, at the Council for National Policy. We're getting down to that now.
There we go.
And I talked to her. She must have been in her late 80s at that time. And she said, that's a great idea. Let's see if we can get the CNP on board. She didn't understand how bad they were.
Yeah.
And she had been like...
About. When did you figure out what the Council on
National... I knew it right... Well, I figured it out when I was in 1981.
Okay, right away.
Right away, because when I saw what was going on in the Department of Education... But I thought maybe with Roz behind it, the project, we could get this off the ground. So my son typed about 300 envelopes. He got all the names and addresses off of the Internet from the members of the CMP.
Do you know of any new membership list today that's available? That's one of the secretive things of all time. I think they're more secret than the Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, I don't know. Back then, he was able to get the membership list.
Yeah.
And we sent out 300, you know, manila envelopes full of documentation, everything, with a cover letter from Rosalind Haley, not me, because I was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they hate my guts.
You're already on the list, yeah.
And so we didn't get one single response.
I'm not surprised, yeah. I was
surprised, you know. These were leaders, you know, not just leaders of conservative organizations. We know who all those people are. They're rotten. But a lot of, you know, presidents of corporations and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you'd think that maybe you would have had 5 or 10 answers. No.
Yeah.
But so, in other words, they're totally supportive. The conservative organizations, I really can't think of one. Maybe the Berkshires aren't. But I cannot think of any other nationally known conservative organization that I trust.
Yeah. And
to say that just makes me sick. But I'm afraid I'm right. I wish I weren't. Don't you wish?
Well, you are right. Yeah, I do wish. But you know, I've already, as I said, mourned the loss of the hope that I had with turning the system around. It's just I just tell people to find their place in it now because... You know, Jesus came for the lost sheep. You know, we're not here to fix this Babylonian system, but,
you were never guaranteed, anything. And all you're meant to do is do your best and remember what's important. And that is exactly what you were talking about. And, it's not the here and now, but it's pretty hard to see your children's values and morals being, you know, flushed down the toilet by the public school system and all these groups like you were talking about the PTA. Oh, the history of the PTA. You should see that. Like the League of Women Voters, like the Chamber of Commerce. You just keep going through all the lists, the American Red Cross. They've all been infiltrated. There isn't a single, I don't think, really, I'm not kidding you, because when we signed Reagan signed the agreements with the Soviet Union to merge the two education systems. We went to, a lot of us who were concerned about this, the major conservative organizations. Can you believe that even the American Legion would not help?
Yeah. Well.
And accuracy in media wouldn't help. There was such a disillusionment for me that, because I'm really, I guess, Pollyanna. I started out like real Pollyanna. And still a bit Pollyanna.
Yeah.
Still think that there's got to be people out there that will have some influence more than I do, you know. And where are they? Please help. You know, we're drowning.
Like, what would you say, what advice would you give to, say, a parent that is becoming aware of the corruption in the system and wants to do the best for their children and you know, fighting this uphill battle? But, you know, the big problem is even the homeschooling curriculum has been corrupted. You know, it's been infiltrated with the, you know, the dominionist mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's all there, and it's all...
You're right. I think that what you have to do, you have to be very individualistic on this one, and probably the most important thing, I mean, there must be parents, you know, who are going to be listening to this, and they're probably saying, oh, gee whiz, you know, she's sort of interesting and all, this is horrible news and all, but I want to know, what can I do about my own children? You know, she hasn't talked about that, right? No, I haven't, and sometimes I forget, but because... I've always hoped, you know, that the homeschool movement and all the publications that, you know, the different groups that have created their own curriculum would come up with the right thing. And I think that some of them have. But getting back to what's the solution, the only solution is homeschooling.
Yeah.
But you have to be very careful. First of all, you do not ever get involved in a virtual homeschool, which would mean on the computer, like William Bennett's academy. You know,
okay.
You have to be very careful not to, whatever corporation that you're dealing with that has a virtual home school or charter school, right? That's better.
Right.
The parents have got to ask, what's the test?
Uh-huh.
That's where you find out. And just like good homeschoolers did this with Secretary Bennett when he was peddling his virtual academy charter school, and they asked him, what test will our children take, Secretary Bennett? And he said, well, you have to take the national assessment because it's federally funded.
Right.
Charter schools receive federal tax money.
Yep.
So that means that don't get involved in any charter school, virtual charter school, or any homeschool curriculum that has a penny of tax money in it. There are certain questions you have to ask always. Is there any federal money in this school, any federal money in this curriculum? But, you know, there are really good, I think, good materials out there. I can send you some stuff. You have to remind me. But I know that for teaching, reading, of course, is the key. And the best reading curriculum, I think, is, I'm trying to think of another one at the same time, something else. Maybe it'll come to me, the other curriculum. But the best reading curriculum is Samuel Blumenfeld's Alpha Phonics.
Oh.
Alpha, you know, A-L-P-H-A.
Okay.
Alpha Phonics. And he's been at it for years. He's written a lot of wonderful books on education. One of his best book is his first, I think it's called, Is Public Education Necessary? But he's a great reading teacher, and he knows all about phonics better than anything I've ever seen. Okay, so that, and then I will stay in touch with you. There are, I'm trying to think of the math curriculum.
I would really enjoy staying in touch with you, Charlotte, because it's this is an ongoing battle here, but the things that you're telling us, exposing what you came into in the 80s, you know, here we are, you know, real time. This stuff has all come to fruition, and the when the Berlin Wall came down, people don't realize that communism came this way. You know,
we just jumped the ocean,
and
stayed there as well, but you know, in a different form of sort of like the mafia in Russia.
Uh-huh.
They just don't have any real freedom, and it's a tragedy, their economy, because of the greed of the people that rose to the top. But, you know, it's either the corporate types or the communist types or the fascists. I always say that when people seem to be able to, they say, oh, well, socialism, you know, that's not that bad, or, you know, well, fascism, they say that's Hitler, and communism, oh, that's Stalin and Mao Zedong, and then I say, well, you know, come on, let's just take, just look at it this way. The United States is not, has never been, and I hope will never be, an ism form of government.
Yeah.
I don't care what ism it is, corporatism, fascism, socialism, communism, whatever. We don't want it.
Yeah, we don't want it.
We want our constitutional system. Absolutely magnificent. I mean, they're trying to make it look like it's a kooky thing. Ron Paul's a kook, right? Because he talks about the Constitution being our guide. It's our map. And we may not appreciate it as much. Most homeschoolers, that's the most important thing they can do, is educate their children in the Constitution. You got to teach them to read. And then math, the math skills are pretty simple. I've got some really old-fashioned math curriculum that I'll let you know about, that you can let them know. I just think it's fantastic curriculum.
You know, the disturbing thing about reading.
But anyway, for homeschoolers, I admire them. Thank God. Hats off to the homeschoolers. They have to be very careful that their local school district the superintendent never comes near them with a suggestion that they be hooked up from the central office with, if you're using computers with homeschooling, they will ultimately do that. That's the plan, because there was a project I saw that I believe has been funded now by my old office, which had the homeschoolers connected through the computer with the school superintendent central office for the public schools. Okay?
Yeah.
So that is the plan. And I want them to know that. In fact, I was told by the head of the Office of Libraries and Learning Technology, that the computers and libraries in my old office,
yeah,
Educational Research and Improvement in the U.S. Department of Ed, in 1981, under Reagan, was. I was told by him that in Charlotte, he said, in the future, all education will take place in the home.
Really?
Yes. Very scary. And when I heard that, I thought, you know, after I left this office, I thought, did I really hear that? I mean, is that really what? You see, he was in charge of computer instruction. And,
yeah,
you know, I want people to understand, I'm not saying I hate computers either, because I think they can be very useful and marvelous for research purposes. But I'm talking about computer software, computer-assisted instruction, and I think you all know what I'm talking about, where the software has been designed expressly to bring a child from the beginning, step by step, and then he answers certain questions, and then the computer knows where to take you in order to clear up that misunderstanding, right?
Yes.
All the way until you reach the ultimate, the final objective, and actually it's really the Socratic method of education, which is good, but the Socratic method is fine in a classroom because you have the right to express your own opinion.
Right.
And your brain is working that way, but with the computer, it's very powerful, computer software. The child is totally helpless.
Oh, my goodness.
He can only move according to the computer programmer's philosophy.
Right.
And I have done enough research in this field that I have papers from leading computer programmers who have said, these are educators who have said, it's very dangerous. And if you are involved in computer programming and software, you do not put stuff in that software if it is against your conscience.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful. You have to be very, very careful, because it is so powerful.
It is so powerful, and yeah, it's almost scary with the cell phones and the texting, and these kids are having these electronic relationships with each other, and I don't know where it's all headed. And you know, I'm as guilty as them all. I text my daughters all the time and stay in touch with them. And on one hand, it's actually nice and fun, but it's almost, you know, it goes too far when you replace one-on-one interaction with another human being with it.
Well,
that's when you get into trouble.
It's really true. We were visiting with some people this summer, and the guy was running a bed and breakfast, and he had his two daughters who were with him for the summer, and I think he had his divorce or something, lovely girls, and he wanted them to come in, and they were in the next room.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
He was texting them. he didn't want to do that, but he couldn't get them to come down.
Yeah.
And they said, well, Dad, I don't have to. I can text you.
Yeah.
We were just saying there's no human interaction there. There isn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's just we've all turned into, I don't know, I mean, the animals don't even operate that way, huh? Anyway,
well, you
know, I think you're running out of time. I'm running out a bit of time, too. But
yeah.
I hope we've... Newt Gingrich, bad news. He's just let's make it very clear, everybody. There, this is the worst Republican candidate. Or if he wanted to run on the Democratic ticket, I'd be just as upset because he's really he has no conscience. He's the member of Council on Foreign Relations.
Right.
He's a very close friend of the Tofflers. He doesn't believe in regular education. He would like to have everybody do just what I've been talking about, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
No problem with that. He'll have us into every war under the sun. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So I've dealt with him, but his track record is there for all of us to examine. That's one thing about Newt. We can check it out, and you don't have to listen to me. You can find out if you want to.
Yeah.
And the fact that the South Carolinians decided to go for him in the convention there, I'm still shaking my head. I'm afraid my head's going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
You think this pendulum, the pendulum swinging possibly back to the right, do you think they'll get in the fall? The right?
If we can get the right candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really.
I very much doubt we're going to be allowed to have the right candidate, so I don't know. I mean, what difference does it make whether we have Gingrich in or Obama?
I know. What difference does it make? You know,
I think they're equally dangerous. In fact, I think Gingrich perhaps more so.
Yeah, the ones in the name.
He has a lot of experience. He's very clever. He's extremely bright. I mean, he has an extraordinary mind. Huh? But he's just on the wrong side. That's all.
Yeah, and the ones that do it in the name of Christianity, those are the ones I, you know, see are the most dangerous. You know, at least
very,
Obama.
Very dangerous.
And you know that's
very dangerous. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has been a wonderful hour, Charlotte. I've just been thrilled to have you with me tonight and or today, and I hope we stay in touch, and I promise I will with you, and you know, we'll just see where this thing goes. And
yeah, well, listen, congratulations taking care of those three girls by yourself like that. I wish you well.
Well, I have help. You know, the they're with their mother, and you know, part of the time, but I try to do my best, and it's very interesting, but you know, I know with God's help that you know we're going to prevail here, but it's not easy today. That's for sure.
No, I know it's not. Well, God bless you, and we'll stay in touch. Okay.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. Really a pleasure.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.